You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All facts, no fiction. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
7:06 right now. We hope that you are having a great start to your Monday. A beautiful day in store. Enjoy what we like to call fake spring because... Well, I don't want to be a party pooper, Brian, but by the end of the week, we're talking temperatures back down to below freezing if the forecast holds. So enjoy what Mother Nature is about to give us today. And thank you. Yeah, and thank you so much for listening this morning. We appreciate it.
Yes, we do, and we're glad you're here, and we always want to hear from you, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I know when I ask these questions, I know the answer from Jamie is yes. But for the rest of us, do you remember the name Cassidy Hutchinson? The name sounds familiar, doesn't it? Well, that's because she was a star witness during the January 6th Capitol riot hearings. She's back in the news, not because she wants to be, but because some Republicans are asking the always stalwart DOJ to bring criminal charges against her because of her testimony. Again, going way back to that January 6th. Anyway, this is just another one of the administration's antics. God forbid somebody speaks out, tells the truth, her comments are investigated, but we don't like what she said. So now years later.
4 years ago. Four years ago, we're talking. Still having these discussions. And if you think about the timeline for just a moment, right? Back in 2022 is when we saw her come out and testify to the January 6th committee. Mm-hmm. Members of Congress are still digging through it, looking for ways to bring these charges, which really starts raising the questions about justice or retribution, right? I know where I lie in this conversation. I don't believe that there's any justice involved in this. I believe this is about people who literally want retribution for things that they believe happened that didn't, going back to the discussions we were having last hour, if you were able to join us. This is ridiculous, is what this actually is.
And part of me, as ridiculous as that is, I'm not as angry about that because I know that's how they operate.
Sure.
And we can all see through it and it's going to lead nowhere. What gets me is there's a lot of stuff that needs to be done right now.
Right.
And why are you wasting your time, Cassidy Hutchinson's time, the public's money?
Yes.
And on something that is, you already won. He pardoned everybody from January 6th. Who cares? We as a country decided it was not a big deal.
Right.
And no matter how much evidence was presented, no matter how many videos we saw, no matter how much testimony from people, from not only the Capitol police officers, but everybody else involved, the country decided that's okay.
Right.
We're moving on. We're letting the president pardon all of these people who, a good number of them, have been rearrested for heinous crimes. So were not model citizens that were, or tourists, but we allowed all that to happen. So, okay, you guys won.
Right.
Just shut up.
Right.
Now it is 100% retribution, and it is infuriating because this country is in trouble in a lot of ways, and our elected representatives are doing this kind of nonsense.
Well, and when you look at Cassidy Hutchinson, and we're going to relive some of those moments here in just a moment. She was a young political staffer at the time. She was up and coming as far as a voice in Republican politics. And if you remember back to that June 28th hearing back in 2022, and you watched it, she was nervous, right? Most people would be in that situation. She was testifying in front of the entire country about the actions of people that she once worked for that she knew had pull over her career. Right.
Yes.
But she still showed up. She testified under oath. And to me, that was something that took a lot of courage and something that, frankly, a lot of members of Congress have not shown when it comes to speaking honestly about what happened on that particular day and since that particular day. Now, in case you're wondering how this all came to be, this is GOP Representative Barry Loudermilk made a criminal referral of Hutchinson to the Justice Department in just the last few days, according to sources. He has accused her of lying to Congress in that testimony in 2022 when she alleged that Donald Trump was aware of the potential for violence on January 26, 2021, and forged ahead with his attempts to rile up his supporters anyway. Now, we promise...
Does this worry you that he's like, listen... You know the president was too dumb to know what he was doing. So how dare you say he figured this out? That is a lie. He had no clue what was happening because he's basically clueless. I'm just paraphrasing Barry Loudermilk.
That was probably a good paraphrase. We'll give it to you today. So we're gonna relive some of that testimony from Cassidy Hutchinson. And by the way, a plaque for the January 6th people attacked just went up in the Capitol.
Finally,
after 3 years, late last week and into the weekend, that plaque finally went up, memorializing that particular day in what is should be a very dark day in American history.
Does it show Mark Wayne Mullen hiding behind a chair?
No. No.
Oh, that would be good, because he's a tough guy.
He is a tough guy. We've learned this. But here is Cassidy Hutchinson in exchange with Liz Cheney during that testimony to the January 6th committee back in 2022. This is cut three, please.
You told us, Ms. Hutchinson, about particular comments that you heard while you were in the tent area.
I was in the vicinity of a conversation where I overheard the president say something to the effect of, you know, I don't effing care that they have weapons. They're not here to hurt me. Take the effing mags away. Let my people in. They can march to the Capitol from here. Let the people in. Take the effing mags away.
Okay.
Just to be clear, Ms. Hutchinson, is it your understanding that the president wanted to take the mags away and said that the armed individuals were not there to hurt him?
That's a fair assessment.
That's what she had to say about the president of the United States allowing more people in that particular day. She also testified
armed people.
She also testified that members of the administration knew the situation could become dangerous on January 6th. Again, this is her testimony back in 2022. This is cut four.
After Mr. Giuliani had left the campus that evening, I went back up to our office and I found Mr. Meadows in his office on the couch. He was scrolling through his phone. I remember leaning against the doorway and saying, I had an interesting conversation with Rudy, Mark. Sounds like we're going to go to the Capitol. He didn't look up from his phone and said something to the effect of, there's a lot going on, Cass, but I don't know. Things might get real, real bad on January 6th.
So, Loudermilk has since attempted to reframe the public perception of those events at the Capitol, including scrutinizing the House committee that investigated the Capitol riot and found that Trump was directly responsible for the riot. And this referral that Loudermilk has made, Brian, was co-signed by House Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan, who chairs the committee under which Loudermilk is running a probe of January 6th. You can't make these things up at all.
No.
It's
Jim and Jim Jordan. We all know his past. We all know his deal. What we don't know is why he will never wear a sport coat or a jacket with his suit. But that's neither here nor there. He is
personal choices.
He's another guy who the reframing the public perception is another way of just, well, it's lying. It's gaslighting.
Right.
It's you didn't see it. We all watched it. And that's the old argument, and I don't want to relitigate January 6th. If you're entrenched in the fact that these were peaceful visitors to the Capitol, Jamie, I know you've traveled this country. You've visited a lot of historic places. I'm guessing you've never taken a dump on a desk while you were in there.
I have not.
All right,
and
I'm
in
just
fact,
checking.
I've talked about this, right? As somebody who's been into not taking a dump on a desk, but talked about what January 6th was. For anybody who's ever been to the Capitol, Being on that floor is, it feels like a very sacred place to be. You know, mm-hmm. the amount of history that has gone through that particular building. And then to see people enter it in the way that they did and desecrate it and desecrate the people who have been on that floor to make substantial moves in our history, in our government's history and in our country's history, it was the whole day. Reliving it was appalling. To even think back of it now, it was appalling. But to know what is entrenched in that building, in those walls, it's, you know, I'll never get over
tourists,
that.
Tourists don't have to break windows to get into a place they want to visit.
No.
Tourists don't come
they'll
in
give you
with
a tour.
buy a ticket. You can take the tour. Tourists don't carry Confederate flags. Tourists don't beat police officers.
No.
Tourists don't bear spray law enforcement.
No.
But anyway, so they're reframing it. So now the good thing is a recommendation is not actually a case.
Right.
They're just asking the DOJ to look into this. Under normal circumstances, I would say the DOJ would look at this and go, there's nothing here.
Right.
But normal is out the window.
We don't live in normal circumstances. And that's what's really frightening. And, you know, these types of referrals are not uncommon in Congress, just to make that perfectly clear. But what I think we should all be concerned about is that these charges now being brought against Cassidy Hutchinson sends a message about how this country is treating people who testify under oath and speak out against what they're seeing. Mm-hmm. And if witnesses start to believe that they're going to face some sort of retribution, even years after some sort of investigation, then fewer people are going to be willing to step up in the future. And 5 years later, we are still hearing the same rhetoric that cast doubt on elections and on the institutions that keep this democracy functioning. And at some point, we have to decide if we are going to move forward or if we are going to stay stuck in this political fight forever. And I can tell you, from my personal view, this administration seems stuck in 2020, which I think is going to... It's bad for democracy. It's bad for anybody who believes in the Constitution. It's bad for anybody who believes in the power of the vote or the right to vote. And it's bad for anybody who believes in the rule of law. It's all bad.
It's bad, and it's only getting worse. One of the best stories, the most interesting and crazy stories that came out of that was when Cassidy was talking about the president being in the car with the Secret Service. Cut six, Parker.
So once the president had gotten into the vehicle with Bobby, he thought that they were going up to the Capitol. And when Bobby had relayed to him, we're not, we don't have the assets to do it. It's not secure. We're going back to the West Wing. The president had very strong, a very angry response to that. The president reached up towards the front of the vehicle to grab at the steering wheel. Mr. Engel grabbed his arm, said, sir, you need to take your hand off the steering wheel. We're going back to the West Wing. We're not going to the Capitol. Mr. Trump then used his free hand to lunge towards Bobby Engel. And when Mr. Renato had recounted this story to me, he had motioned towards his clavicles.
I mean,
just let that sit for a while. Just ruminate on that for a while. This was under oath.
Yeah.
Again, this is the kind of testimony that led the committee to say that Donald Trump was responsible for this.
But and drew blowback from Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most puzzling part, is if you're a Republican, how can you listen to that and think, that's fine. That's fine behavior. No, it's not.
It's not, but we'll take a breath because we're going to swipe or stay after this because, Jamie, that's what we have to do on a day break.
We do. It is 7:19. You are listening to the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
22 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. morning on the Civic Media Network. It is time for one of our favorite segments where we get away from the politics of it all for just a few minutes. And we dive into pop culture with our senior producer, Frank. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm trying to compose myself after picturing Brian rolling around in grass.
That's why you have to
being concerned.
Watch the stream and it all becomes clear.
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm good. We're gonna have a good weather day today. I was just saying on the stream that I'm probably gonna go take a walk by the lake. But for now, we're gonna do swipe or stay.
Yes.
I'm gonna read some pop culture headlines. Brian and Jamie will have to decide whether they're going to swipe on to the next one or stay and hear about it more. In the event of a tie, Parker Olson, our tech producer, will be the tiebreaker. So we're gonna swipe on to story number one. Suspense. Shots were fired at a pop star's home.
Ooh.
I heard about this, but I want to stay. I need some more details.
I have not heard about this, so I will stay as well.
All right, we're staying. Shots were fired at Rihanna's house over the weekend. And when I say fired at her house, I really mean shots were fired at her house.
Wow.
A woman has been taken into custody for firing off some rounds towards Rihanna's house while she was sitting in her car.
Oh.
The pop star was in the house at the time with no report yet whether her husband A$AP Rocky and the kids were in the house. Law enforcement is currently investigating the motive.
Holy buckets. Okay.
Yeah.
What do they have crazy against Rihanna and A$AP Rocky? I mean, they might be one of Hollywood's like big it couples right now who actually appear normal until somebody tells me otherwise. But that's insanity.
not to do too much speculation, but remember A$AP Rocky had that trial.
Yeah.
You call it a beef a year or two ago, so it could be related to that, but we really don't know. So I don't want to speculate too much.
What we do know is the house they live in is ginormous.
Yes.
Well, they kept showing drone footage of it, so who knows? That's crazy.
Well, good thing nobody was hurt, especially
nobody was
kids.
Hurt. Somebody is in custody. I mean, just didn't even get out of the car. She just sat in her car.
It's lazy. That's just lazy.
That's lazy work.
It's not even a drive-by. It's I'm going to park and have a Coke.
You had to think.
Let me shoot.
The vehicle wasn't moving.
Yeah.
You had to think that she thought if she stayed. Like, my thinking is here. I don't want to get too much into the criminal mind because sometimes it doesn't make sense. But if she stayed in the car, it was easier to get away, right? If you're on foot, it's a lot harder to, evade and escape. But my guess would be she wanted to stay in the car so she could get a quick getaway. But
she didn't.
No.
She is in jail. Next story.
All right, next.
Moving on to the next one. NFL quarterback and actress spotted in Vegas together at 2 a.m.
Ooh. Oh, my. Canoodling? I'm in.
I'll stay.
Ooh, both staying. You know what? You guys usually don't go for the relationship
stuff.
Yeah, I
need some juicy stuff on a Monday.
NFL quarterback might be enough.
Yeah.
2 a.m. Vegas is also a good trigger.
Look at Parker. He's really excited.
Sure.
Rumors were swirling around that Joe Burrow and Jessica Alba.
She's much older than him, too. Good for her.
The two were spotted sitting in a Las Vegas casino together.
Yes.
Now, here's the deal. Representatives from Alba's camp has come out and officially shut this rumor down. Said the two were part of a large group of friends that were out together that night.
Oh, that's
Jessica
just a
Alba
story.
Is still dating actor Danny Ramirez.
Okay.
At this time.
All right. Well, good for
Let
her
me
nonetheless.
Tell you, just a little something. I've met Jessica Alba.
Okay. Yeah.
Lovely woman.
I was going to say, is she as awesome as she appears?
Good.
And seems to
awesome.
Be. Okay. That's good.
And she smells nice. But we're going to move on.
She smells nice. Frank. I got right up in her neck. And anyway, go ahead, Frank.
Shook her hand. She was very, very nice.
All right.
Pop star says she wants to quit music.
Who cares? Swipe.
Swipe.
Okay. The Pawn Stars are feuding.
Ooh, stay. I know this story.
I don't. I can't believe they're still around.
Well,
I'm gonna swipe and let Parker jump.
I'm staying because I liked Pawn Stars when I was a kid.
All right, big Pawn Stars fan.
Parker keeping his streak alive of siding with Jamie and
he is.
Dang it, Brian, you need to be more agreeable.
Don't bite the hand that feeds. Golden rule. Okay, so Rick Harrison, the star of the show Pawn Stars, has come out and questioned his son Corey's GoFundMe that was set up after a motorcycle accident. Corey set up a GoFundMe because he claims he racked up six figures in medical bills and was in serious debt. Here's where the fun begins. His dad responded and came out and told TMZ, as far as I know, I paid all of Corey's medical bills long before he put out the GoFundMe. He is a grown man in his 40s and is responsible for how he handles his finances.
Wow.
Corey responded to his dad's public comments saying, if he decided I don't have to pay him back the money, then happy birthday to me. But based on our personal and business relationship, I don't see how that's possible. I love my father very much. He's always been there for me, and I don't have a problem with him at all. But let me tell you something. If you put out a GoFundMe, it better be because you're in debt with the hospital.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
You're telling me your dad paid the bills, and now you're in debt to him, and I've got to foot the bill because you're in debt with your dad? No. That's not how GoFundMe works.
Tell me the insurance company screwed you over, and your kid is, you know, your kid was dying, and then, all right.
Not to mention the fact that I love people who contributed. Not to say that, you know, I want to see anybody get hurt, but this was a show that was wildly popular, and that family doesn't seem to be, like, you know, financially hurting, especially if the dad did pay for the six-figure hospital bill. So the fact that he put out a GoFundMe in the first place is kind of crazy to me.
Crazy. So we'll see how that wraps up and see if there's any more feud. But that's it for Swiper Stay.
Nice job, Frank.
It's always a good
segment.
When
we come back, the Trump administration is investigating New Richmond School District.
What? Yeah, this is also a crazy story. It's 729. You're listening to Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
Local news, community stories, and the conversations that matter most. Now, more Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us today on the Civic Media Network. If you are listening in Richland Center on WRCE or in Wisconsin Rapids on WFHR or even in Hayward on WBZH, we are glad that you're here. And hey, Brian, if people want to get involved in the conversation, they can do so this morning. You can call or text us 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC. We'd love to have you participate and give us your comments as we're talking through all of the chaos that is what's happening in politics in the world right now.
And this story hits a little closer to home because, once again, the rights attack on transgender youth is come to our backyard once again, because on Thursday, the U.S. Department of Education, run by a former wrestling executive, has launched an investigation into the New Richmond School District in western Wisconsin for allegedly, quote unquote, allowing biological men to use female restrooms, end quote. Now, for the people who think this means, like, I would be wandering in to a girl's bathroom and that would be fine, that's not the case.
That's not what
and
we're
it
talking
never
about
has
here.
Been the case. We're talking about young people who are transitioning, who have adopted what their mm-hmm. true identity. And I only hesitate on these words because I want to choose them correctly and not insult anybody, because I do believe that this is not that transgender people are not making a choice just to garner attention or to you know, cause any sort of commotion. So, but also the numbers of this, or the actual incidents of this, are almost nothing.
Right.
But it's a great rallying point. And that's what the Republicans are hoping to do, not only on a national level, but as we get into the story, it's become a rallying cry for Republican candidates here in Wisconsin that are using this false narrative to mm-hmm. create hysteria and take something that most people would go, yeah, a grown man shouldn't be walking into a girl's bathroom in junior high school. Of course, But right. that's not the issue. No. That's not what we're talking about, Jamie.
Not even close to what the issue is. In fact, this investigation will determine whether the new Richmond School District, whether their policy violates Title IX. And that is a title that protects female students and athletes from sex-based discrimination. Now, federal officials say that they are reviewing whether the new Richmond School District allowed transgender students to use bathrooms that match their gender identity, which the current administration says may conflict with Title IX protections. This particular issue gained a lot of attention after a contentious January school board meeting where parents and the activist group Moms for Liberty demanded that the district stop allowing biological males to use the girls' bathrooms. Now, let's take a moment and remember who Moms for Liberty are for just a second, right? Because this is a name that's always in the background of how our schools are being shaped because they yep. like to insert their opinions, but we haven't seen them make as many headlines over the last few weeks. This is a national conservative organization that has become active in school board politics all across the country, not just here in Wisconsin. They have actually pushed for changes to curriculum, library books, and school policies that are related to gender identity and LGBTQ students. And so the federal investigation centers on Title IX, which is a law passed all the way back in 1972 mm-hmm. that bans sex discrimination in schools that receive federal funding. Originally, it was meant to make sure girls and women had equal opportunities in education, especially athletics. And over the years, different presidential administrations have interpreted that law differently. Some have said that it also protects transgender students. Others, including this particular administration, say that it applies strictly to biological sex. So that is a little bit of the background of what we're dealing with as we talk about this new Richmond story for anybody who's not 100% clear on mm-hmm. some of that background
the people
detail.
Who are bringing it up and once again trying to rile people up who just listen to the headlines.
Right.
If you only read the headlines, you will misinterpret a lot of things that come your way from everybody. But
right.
boy, it seems like an overwhelming amount comes from the right.
Absolutely. And in this particular case, in New Richmond, Assistant Secretary for Civil Rights Kimberly Ritchie said that the administration believes Title IX must be enforced to ensure girls' safety, privacy, and fairness in school, saying, quote, young women should never be forced to share intimate spaces with boys and men because school leaders care more about radical gender ideology than protecting girls' safety, dignity, and privacy, unquote. Wow.
I would be interested to know, and it can't, again, you can argue the headline or you can argue right. the facts, but the school district's attorney, which makes a lot of sense, said that recent court rulings have reaffirmed students' right to use bathrooms, locker rooms, and showers corresponding with their gender identity. The district could face lawsuits from the other side if policies counter if they enacted different policies. I'm wondering, and I haven't been in high school in a while. That might surprise you, but even in college or anywhere, I might be surprised how many incidents of transgender youth in a high school, but even if there's only one,
right.
Is it really that much of an issue? I mean, if someone is living their life as the gender opposite of what they were born, but this is who they are, I don't know how it works in the women's bathroom, Jamie, but is there a lot of intimate discussions and are you seeing everybody's business or do you go in the stall, close the door, take care of business, check your makeup, gossip about your boyfriend, and then head out?
That's pretty much how I've always handled it. The only time that there's been any sort of intimate relationship, and again, it's been a long time since I've been in school. The only sort of intimate relationship I ever had in those sorts of situations was in gym class, you know, when everybody's at their locker changing.
Oh, everybody's got to get the shower.
But otherwise, you know, it was in my high school, we did have some private stalls as well as the communal, yeah. Because every high school is a little different. And again, I graduated from in 1997, so I know a lot of things have changed. But as far as the day-to-day of using a bathroom, just like men, I think women go in, they do their thing. they get out as quickly as possible because that's how a normal bathroom works.
I'm always shocked by the intimation that just because you're transgender, you want to be parading around so everybody can see your business.
No.
I don't know if that's the case. And I would, listen, because I was fat, chubby was too nice a term. I didn't like taking showers in the communal showers.
No.
And I, it had nothing to do. It was just like,
nobody likes to take showers in the communal showers. Let's be honest. Zach in Sun Prairie chiming in this morning on our text line saying, well, wait till these bathroom police find out about porta potties at festivals where everybody's using the same porta potty. I mean,
yeah, but not at the same time.
Not unless at the same time, right.
Unless you're doing something illicit. And if you do that in a porta potty, oh, Lord.
Oh.
You got needs, brother.
You do. You do. But if you do want to chime in this morning into the conversation, 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC. Mark saying that this administration is bent on protecting a pedophile that they claim to be, and they claim to be protecting girls. I think that this is a bigger conversation about human rights as far as this particular administration goes. To me, they seem hell-bent on making sure that anybody who might be different in some sort of capacity, mm-hmm. whether it's transgender, the color of skin, religious rights, whatever it might be, that is what they are hell-bent on making sure that we don't have in this country. And that is sad. It goes against everything, as we've talked about on this particular program, that this country was founded on. And we are not living in a time where everything is the same like we were, 50 years ago. Even 50 years ago, things weren't all the same. We just had a harder time acknowledging it. And maybe right. It wasn't as public as it is now. But the New Richmond School District has not yet publicly responded to this particular investigation. The district attorney said that more recent court rulings have reaffirmed students' rights to use these bathrooms, locker rooms, and showers corresponding with the gender identity. And as you mentioned, this goes into a bigger conversation for the district, right? Because we're talking about the fact that some of these students could feel targeted, which then brings lawsuits onto the school district where they're supposed to be protecting students, I think.
Well, Susan's in McFarland. She wants to jump in on this. She's been hanging on the line. Hi, Susan. Welcome to the show. What do you got?
Well, good morning. Thank you for letting me be on. I am so tired of this conversation because it's so mean-spirited. They are directing hate and anger towards students instead of realizing that we're not a monolith and that people are different and people who are trans go through a lot of agony just trying to make those decisions, their families. It is not like something you turn on and off. And I know personally as someone who is trans, and this person felt awful all their life and then finally made the decision and is now more happy because they now are living in the skin that they need to be in. So I feel as though, these Moms for Liberty, either they live in a silo or they don't have anybody in their family who is LGBTQ+, I do not understand it, but I think we really have to start switching the narrative to the things that are really important is why aren't we funding our students, our schools at 100% in the state? Why aren't we doing a lot of things that we should be doing for this state? And I think that's the conversation that we should switch to.
Thank you for the call this morning, Susan.
Thank you, Susan.
I can't disagree.
I don't disagree either. And Zach points out when I said people aren't using the porta potties, I was making a little joke, but stalls are not the same time either. Yeah, exactly, Zach.
Right.
Listen, we've all been, like you said, to a festival where I'm walking in one stall while a woman is walking in the stall next to me. And I don't show off.
How
my
do
business.
Moms for Liberty handle the bathrooms in public places that are not specified for male or female? They're non-gender. So meaning anybody
They would never go in there because that's where the devil lives.
sadly, you're probably not too far off. Now, what I think is interesting, though, and this goes back to Susan's point, this isn't just about the bathrooms, right? This is about whether transgender students are treated as full members of the school community or whether or not they're going to be pushed to places that other students can use freely. That's a form of discrimination. And this administration's approach essentially ignores the rights of transgender students and is trying to roll back all of the protections that many believe were already settled. And when policies start swinging back and forth every time a new administration takes office, it's going to leave the schools, the families, and the students stuck in the middle. And that's essentially what we're seeing here in New Richmond.
And just because you don't understand something doesn't mean it's wrong. I mean, it takes a while because there have always been transgender people.
Mm-hmm.
We just now are allowing them to be who they are in a much more public way. And if you don't understand it, that's okay, but it doesn't make it wrong and it doesn't make it something that you need to legislate against. It's something that maybe it doesn't affect you at all, which I'm betting a lot of people who cry and scream the loudest are not affected by this issue whatsoever. But you gotta do a little research, open up your mind and realize there are people just like you.
Be willing to have the conversations. Yeah, have the conversations. Yeah. Ask the questions. It's 7:40.
That's hard,
we would want to know the truth. 7:48 right now. You are listening to Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Want to join in on the conversation? Call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Now back to Brian and Jamie.
7:52 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. You are listening to the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. I like that, Parker. I haven't heard Tracy chime in a long time. That's very, very nice. How much more are you paying for gas this week compared to a week ago? We want to hear because, you know, suddenly there's gas for under $2 a gallon line from the administration is gone. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You know, drivers here in Wisconsin across the nation are noticing soaring gas prices. The other day I filled up and I went to a Sam's because they're usually the cheapest. I paid 65 cents more a gallon Saturday than I did a week ago. But another fuel that you may not worry about unless you drive a big rig or a diesel-powered vehicle, diesel is on the rise, and diesel is rising much faster. Now, you may say, well, Brian, that doesn't affect me. Aha, you would be absolutely wrong because rising diesel prices are going to, again, affect how you and I live our lives, Jamie, and it is not in a good way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when we talk about this, obviously we're talking about the world's economy. So from consumer food goods to the foods that we're eating, it all gets to you thanks to diesel. And since the fighting started in Iran about a week ago, gasoline prices are up about 47 cents or 16% to $3.45 for a gallon of regular in a week, according to Sunday's AAA reading. But that's nothing compared to the 84-cent increase or 22% rise in diesel prices, taking a gallon of the critical fuel to $4.60. Now, the reason that we're seeing the diesel prices rise so quickly over gasoline is that it was in a shorter supply heading into this energy price shock that we're currently in. Mm-hmm. And there are predictions that diesel could rise as high as $5 a gallon this month. I was just over on AP News. Oil prices, if you're kind of keeping tabs on this, over $100 a barrel as of this morning.
And they're saying it could go up to 120, 125.
It's amazing what happens when you start a conflict in the Middle East where most of the world's oil supply comes from and what actually happens. It's like there's ramifications for your actions.
Jamie, listen, I'm hearing you spread all this disinformation. These high prices are going to go away, Jamie. Sooner or later, the prices will come down, and then everything will be hunky-dory. So stop making me look bad by talking about higher prices. People don't care. Oh, well, no, people care. I don't care. They're going to go down. Stop it.
Well, okay. We'll continue to hear those comments come from this administration. But the freezing cold winter created a huge demand for heating oil in the Northeast, which is still a common source for residential heating. Home heating oil and diesel are essentially identical products. So the real risk right now to consumers are higher costs to transport the goods that they buy every single day. And here's the kicker. Diesel is also a key fuel for agriculture, right? And this is a very critical time of year. We should know this, being in the great state of Wisconsin and our agricultural heritage. It's just ahead of the spring planting season, which is why diesel will be so important over the next few weeks and months.
Yep. So, now, the yes, you may say, but Brian, we know. We listen to the fabulous Farm Babe. We listen to all our agricultural news. The corn, wheat, and soybean prices are already going up. Ah, yes, but are they going up as fast as fuel prices? And the answer is, unfortunately, no. So this war has tentacles that are reaching globally into every aspect of our lives, and we still don't know why we're there.
Right.
And the way our president is talking, well, he's not going to like that they named that new Supreme Leader. And so we are going to stay there because he made the threat yesterday that if he doesn't like the new Supreme Leader, they would be taken out. So this is just on a purely dinner table kind of focus. This is not going to go well for any of us.
No.
And I don't know how people are going to do it, because if you commute for work, and I think about my last job and the commute I had and how much I spent for gas every day. And now if that gas has gone up this much in a week,
right?
If we continue this and the Strait of Hormuz stays closed and oil prices continue to shoot up, I don't know how people are just scraping by are gonna make it, because you have to choose, well, how am I going to get to work?
Yeah.
Or can I afford to get to work based on, can I afford groceries? Because now everything else has gone up. This is not, we are in a very tough situation as citizens. Not even the geopolitical stuff, you can put that aside, because really, when it comes down to voting, people do put that aside.
Right. And I mean, and let's look at this from, if you kind of branch out based on what you're saying, being an agricultural state, farmers rely heavily on diesel to run their tractors, their combines, and other equipment. That fuel is also used to transport milk, corn, soybeans, cheese, and other products all across the country. So when diesel jumps by more than half a dollar in a week, that increases the cost for not only the farmers, but for the companies that process and ship those agricultural goods. And eventually, those costs have to show up in the prices that we're paying for milk, meat, vegetables, other food products. In other words, this isn't just a problem you're going to see at the gas station as we look at it on a bigger picture, right? This is going to be a problem that we are going to see in our own pocketbooks when we're trying to buy goods and food for our own families. And so, when you're looking at the global tensions, the supply concerns, the instability in the energy markets, all of those are going to add up. And no matter what this administration tries to tell you, you are going to be paying more. You and I are going to be paying more because of the decisions that this administration has made, whether it is the conflict in the Middle East or whether it is the tariffs that they continually try to push through onto other countries. We will be paying more in the end.
That's it. Yeah, that's a mic drop. That's you can't put a finer point on it than that. When we come back, I want to know, can you really celebrate your country's history if you whitewash it? We'll talk about that after this. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. This is the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.